following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Hi there. Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And my guest today, again, will be my business associate, Dan Dubose, who will be joining us shortly after the first break. If you're new to the show, the Saturday show that we have two shows. The Saturday show is the Tax Mash Show. The Sunday 7 a.m. show is on real estate private partnership syndications, which most of our clients have found to be a solution for building cash flow, retirement wealth. There's a number of reasons you might choose to do it, but in any event, those investments tend to perform well through thick and thin, as the case may be, with the ups and downs in the economy, especially right now. But in any event, I want to elaborate a bit on the disclaimer that you heard at the top of the show to further indicate that just because you listen to the show, visit our websites, or send an email in to us, contact us, etc., that we are not your accountant, your tax advisor, etc., if or until we mutually decide to engage. So in any event, if you are looking for some knowledge in the area of real estate investing, retirement planning, things like Social Security and Medicare planning, which is something we're doing more and more these days, by all means, we'd like to chat with you. And you can go to the BAPlanner.com website. That's BAPlanner.com, and there's the top right, you'll see some intake or a link to some intake forms. If you'll fill those out, that'll give us enough details where when we do get on a phone call, which you can book from the website, right, the link right next door to the intake forms, we'll be able to actually address specifics with regard to your facts and circumstances, your specific facts and circumstances. We will not make wild claims about retiring you in 5 years, as the show that was on just before mine does. I'm going to suggest you find out how they define retirement. Since they don't bother to ask you, you might want to ask them, how much after-tax income do you guys and gals believe you're retired with? And I'm going to suggest to you, it likely will differ from your own understanding of what retirement is all about. In any event, for those of you that would like to see when you can retire, again, if you'll fill out those intake forms, we'll actually show you, provided you're trying to use retirement funds to do it, which that's where most of our clients' family's net worth is. It's tied up in a 401k, a traditional 401k generally, which we would agree with, again, the folks that run the program ahead of ours, that the traditional 401 and IRA have failed many people. They've actually succeeded with many people, and that's something they tend to overlook. But I know we've got clients that have worked their entire life, in some cases less than others, and they ended up with as much or more as people that I've worked with that have invested in multifamily apartment buildings. So, you know, just because you say it loudly and on the air or from the front of the room, as it may be on case study night, it doesn't make it so. And, you know, I've watched a lot of people. I've got a significant number of clients that are members of that organization. And I'll just tell you, they're still trying to retire after more than, a lot more in some cases, than 5 years. So, you know, understand that the case studies you hear on the air are a microscopic percentage of the overall. And I heard a number thrown out again today by Self-Made Millionaire that he's had over 50,000 members come through that program, and they've retired tens of thousands. Well, you know, if that's the case, why can't we find some case study examples of people that aren't employees of the company? It seems like everyone I hear now, at least on the Saturday show, is an employee or a mentor of that group, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, all I'm trying to tell you is that there's probably, out of the 50,000 members, and of course there's nowhere near that, that thought enough about that organization and the results that they would want to stay a member. I mean, you would think that if somebody retired you in 2.5 to 5 years, you would hug them and you wouldn't let go, right? You'd still be going to meetings. You'd still be getting some cognitive dissonance on your investments, and you know, you wouldn't move on. Well, that's not the case. I would challenge Self-Made Millionaire to give us the real number on how many people are still members. And then, even then, look at how many people do syndicated investments. In other words, how many people are the lead partner? And you're going to see that that number is clearly less than 1% of those members. And so, you know, I'm going to suggest to you those guys and gals are the ones that are having a chance at retiring in 2.5 to 5 years if they're successful on the first three transactions they do. Yeah, they're going to retire in that time frame if they want. And then folks that start off with over $1 million, how many of you listen to the show, and how many of you that have joined Self-Made Millionaires old school travel agent quote-unquote membership platform? You know, by the way, if you'll listen to tomorrow's show, we'll be talking about syndicators that you don't have to go pay, you know, 18 to 20 grand to join. You can invest direct. Nobody tells you that on the two-day workshop that these groups put on. And so I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to keep telling you, and I'm going to tell you that we've got syndicators we're familiar with. I don't own them. They're not my company. They're not my transactions. I invest in some of them. And I'll tell you when I do, just so you know, full disclosure, but we've got syndicators that don't charge membership fees. There's assorted platforms out there for people that want to invest in all manner of investment-grade real estate, be it hotels, office, industrial, healthcare facilities, multifamily apartments, where they're not charging you a fee, and they're run by professionals. And, you know, nothing wrong with mom and pops. The mom and pops made a lot of money for their partners in some of the transactions on the old school platform that I mentioned. It's just they don't have an exclusivity on success. And so, you know, lest you fall for the notion that, hey, you got to join a platform. Hey, if you got the extra 18 to 20 grand laying around, join the platform and then let us know how we can help you understand the math, because you're not going to understand the math the way these documents are generated and the snakes that are slithering through the weeds. Or maybe you're new to partnerships altogether. It'll be a real eye-opener for you if you don't understand the tax mechanics of how a partnership works. In any event, we're going to take a short break here. We'll circle back with our guest here, Dan Dubose, CPA, and we're going to be talking about the sad state of affairs with our federal deficit, and we've got some ideas on how to mitigate the risk, the longevity risk of your retirement, along with the tax rate risk, the two most pronounced risk when you survey and ask retirees or soon-to-be retirees what keeps you up at night. And so we'll be right back here in a few minutes with the Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross, and today, Dan Dubose, CPA.
I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com. nathan@npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
There wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world and I never had a chance, girl. Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living. And on that highway going nowhere was an exit overdue.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross and Mr. Dan DuBose, CPA. The voice of experience is joining me once again today. Dan is one of my CPA firm tax associates. And for those of you that don't know him within our practice, it's an old, but it's a new relationship. It's an oldie, but goodie, I think is the expression. And I'm hoping Dan will continue to find time to join us. And at some point, I can stay in bed at 3:30 a.m. Here halfway around the world and let him carry the torch occasionally so that, we're both old guys, but this old guy would like to sleep a little longer on what would be my early hours on Sunday. So we are on May 1 already here in Thailand. So anyway, Dan, first, welcome to the show. I hope you're doing well today.
Doing well. Thank you, Nathan.
Very good. We're going to talk today. I took a bunch of continuing education courses this past week because I got a license renewal coming up Monday. And any accountant or CPA, at least, that is listening to the show understands what that means. And I tend to do, unlike Dan, I'm kind of a just-in-time type not just accountant. Everything it seems I do in life is just in time. And of course, you know, I was only 20 hours short, you know, of the number I needed as of Tuesday of this week. So I spent a lot of time on webinars the rest of the week, and I'm proud to say that I got 20.5 hours. So I'm good to go, other than
another
hour
going
to take me to fill them in. That's right. That's right. Although realistically, you know, I'm not sure why I kind of got out of the habit. I reported 81 hours last year. We only need 40, and then you only need 20 since you've got, if you have enough being carried over. So I was down at the 20 mark. But I tell you what, the today's technology is so amazing in our industry. And you know, Dan and I both are able to tune in every day. There's at least 20 webinars that this one organization puts on that are, one, predominantly free, and two, cross the spectrum of content. It's not just how do you prepare a tax return type stuff, although there are those, certainly. But I participated in two retirement, quote-unquote, type webinars where it was more about Social Security, Medicare, etc. And I got to tell you, I don't dwell on this stuff. I mean, we're getting more and more questions. I mean, when I started my practice back in 1985, early 85, or actually it was late 84, and we were working on 1984 tax returns. It's crazy to think about. It just seems like yesterday, a young 25-year-old or 24-year-old at that point, starting off on my own. It was the depths of the bad times in Houston. Dan, you probably remember that. I think you were in the real estate business at that time, or maybe coming out of it.
I was in there at that time. Yes, I was. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Couldn't have been worse. The developers were literally committing suicide. I mean, I remember some of the stories, and of course, everybody was debt-based. You know, they used debt to go do a transaction. And they got smart after that, and they started raising money, doing equity, right? You don't commit suicide over equity when a deal goes under. But in any event, those are the hardships that make Houston, I think, an incredible place to do business. And I was fortunate enough at 25 to not have enough money to put it at risk in either some tax shelters. If anybody remembers back in the 80s, boy, it was the wild, wild west in terms of, highly leveraged tax shelters. And the IRS had really just gotten some rules under the 2001, 2002, 2003. It seems like we had a tax act about every year back then. And, boy, did we cut our teeth on doing tax court petitions for transactions that, you know, when you look back, you think, man, what were the people thinking, you know, that put these things together?
Yeah.
I know what the ones that were thinking that bought them or invested in them. I would have done the same thing if I'd had any money. But in any event, back then, yeah, it's funny how things change. And I was listening to, again, the show right before mine, and I hear Self-Made Millionaire talking about how the 1986 Tax Reform Act destroyed and yet created an amazing real estate industry, and I agree with him. I'll absolutely stipulate that, boy, if you had a few dollars back then when everybody started bailing out, and of course people were losing jobs, etc., you could pick up homes. I'll never forget some of the stories that I watched with my clients, and I wasn't buying, well, actually I did have some rental property back then, but I wasn't in a position to really take advantage of the dip. But boy, I remember four-story, two or three-bedroom houses, two or three-car garage homes for $150,000. If you had the money to go buy them. Now, those are not good rental properties, but you know, if you had a solid business or solid job, what a marvelous time to pick up, property. But in any event, so turning to Social Security, and the reason I'm bringing this around, hopefully. We're going to talk about the old paradigm of retirement and living versus the new. And on the old paradigm, most people, like our parents, work for the same company their whole career. And I saw that not necessarily in my own family, but certainly with clients. You know, the initial client base we picked up from a financial planning firm that was trying to find a sole source to handle their clients' tax reporting. They were, you know, Bechtel employees, Exxon employees, Valero, just go down the list. These are gold star companies or gold chip with just salt of the earth kind of people. And you know, our average client was in their 50s. Many of them had near $2 million in retirement money with that company. This was very common. And, it gave them plenty. Their biggest decision when they decided to retire was whether to take a lump sum or an annuity option. I mean, that's the kind of work we spend our time assessing is, you know, which way makes sense for you given your facts and circumstances. But anyway, they would retire at 65. They would have this option of, there were pensions back then. I know that's a foreign term for all the utes that might be listening in. You know what a pension is, right, Dan? You do some returns with pensions.
And yes, still. And pensions are few and far between these days unless that person might be over, let's say, 75 years old.
Yeah, and actually – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I stepped on you a little bit. I've got a little delay.
You know, school teachers still – government employees still do have good pensions, but there's few – in the business world that do.
Well, and actually in the new paradigm, that's an opportunity. And we're going to talk about that here soon. The pension is what's going to cause you to get taxed on your Social Security the rest of your life if you're like most people that have a pension. We're going to get into that here shortly. But you know, in the old paradigm, people would rely on Social Security for supplemental income, which is what it was designed to be, versus their actual retirement living needs. And in any event, there was certainly a lot less emphasis on one's own investments. You know, I can remember being, I guess, in the 90s, mid-90s, where people really got into online investing, and I guess the technology is what drove some of that, but it was also because, you know, you may or may not recall. Dan, you remember when the 401k first raised its head? I believe I've got the right
early 80s
year. Yeah, roughly. Yeah, well, it was early, very early 80s. I've got 78, I believe 78, or either the IRA or the 401 was 78. I think that was the 401. And so, obviously, looking back, we all realize what a hoax that the 401 could have been or was for many people, because it was the employers who were going under due to pension obligations, where, you know, they agreed to pay people under a defined benefit plan for the rest of their life based on, you know, the very recent year's earnings, you know, before they retired. And it was a very expensive proposition. And so some of the geniuses in the investment space, the Fidelities, the Schwabs, et cetera, got together with employers and said, you know, hey, we got to shift this liability for these pensions over to the workers. It's like, yeah, that's the ticket. That's going to work, right? And so they put together what I'm going to suggest is like kind of an IV bag with a sedative in it by giving you a little write-off. Boy, we'll give you a little write-off just to tease you enough to make you want to make that contribution and get that tax break one time. And then when those funds grow, you know, we're going to get back. I mean, it was as good or better an investment for the government as it was for the employee. I mean, would you agree with that, Dan? That's kind of how it shaped up,
yeah,
right?
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. Nowadays, and especially with the rates going up.
Well, that's right. So, you know, the government gave, I mean, in many cases, you know, somebody might have gotten you know, 30% or 15% write-off. I mean, the brackets went way down in 1986 with the 86 Tax Reform Act, and then they scaled up later, although not nearly as much as they had been historically. I mean, in my lifetime, I guess when I was a baby, and Dan, you would have been, what, about a 12-year-old, I guess, somewhere in there. Rates got up as high as 93%, I think. I remember, I think Ronald Reagan talked about that on occasion when he would explain he would only do two movies a year because he was working for the governments, California and the federal government after that.
Yep. When I graduated from high school, rates were at 83%, 84%, maybe 85%, something like that at the highest rate. Now, I wasn't paying that rate, but many people were.
Well, that's true. In any event, so we're sitting here now with historically some of the lowest, well, they are the lowest tax rates.
The lowest, yes.
In our lifetime. The tax brackets are on sale. That's the way to think about it. And if you get your head wrapped around the concept that with the current deficit, the rates will need to double somewhere between now and 2029 at the latest, because the rest of the discretionary component of the budget will be gone. It'll be spent. And the way these folks in Washington are spending money right now, it may be sooner, combined with inflation. What happens when inflation occurs? Well, the interest rates go up. You know, the average interest rate on the recent year's borrowings are probably at an all-time low. I don't know the percentage, but I can rest assured on average they're probably sub 1%. You know that number by chance, Dan? I saw something recently, and I don't know why 0.25 of 1% sticks in my mind. It can't – well, I guess it could be that
low.
Well,
we've got, a $29-30 trillion debt paying about, $5 trillion worth of interest to carry that debt. So it's
more like 2%, 1.5% then, if that's the case. Well, anyway, so let's take another break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about the new paradigm, and then we're going to get into some content that will describe a couple options that we think will work for most people to address this. And I'm not saying you'll avoid the tax train forever, but I think you can sidestep it here for most of the rest of our lifetime. Who knows? Who knows where the rules go? But anyway, we'll be right back with the Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross and Dan DuBose.
If you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross, and Dan DuBose, CPA, has also joined me again. And hearing that Kris Kristofferson song, that's from your neck of the woods, right, Dan? He was, well, he was actually, I'm sorry, he was more South Texas, but yeah. What an incredible talent he was, and I know it took me a while to realize that. I used to wonder how in the world do they let this guy on the air, and then I found out that, you know, he was a former Rhodes Scholar, I believe it was. He was accepted to one of the military academies. He was an amazing guy in spite of the fact that he had a rather unique he wrote I don't know how many number one hits for other people, and that Bobby McGee song has been recorded by, go search it on YouTube. It's at least 20 different groups, maybe more. But, you know, I like the line, freedom's just another word for nothing less to lose, or nothing, I guess he calls it. And nothing doesn't mean nothing. If it ain't free, then, you know, it doesn't have quite the connotation that it might otherwise. But I'm going to suggest to you that when I listen to groups like the one that's on the air before ours, Self-Made Millionaire, talk about retirement, and then I watch how they advise their members to go rip the Band-Aid off on their retirement savings and pay in 30 to 40%, maybe as much as 50, depending on which state they're located in, because these guys are all across the country. You know, financial freedom has a different connotation when you've just departed with half of your family's net worth, right? It's kind of like it's just another word for nothing left to lose, because between the taxes and the membership fees, you're going to be walking light. You know, it's going to have a little pep in your step if you're not depressed over having just given away so much money. So we're going to suggest there's a better way. And if you'll tune in tomorrow on the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show, we're going to discuss why we see real estate syndications, private real estate partnerships, typically involving multifamily assets. We're going to explain some of the metrics. We're going to explain the different angles that these syndicators, including the aforementioned platform, use and how they structure their transactions. And we will kind of open your eyes, hopefully, a bit to where you'll become a smarter investor as you shepherd your funds. So anyway, we were talking about the old paradigm of people that used to work for one company. They retired at 65, received a pension. They used Social Security for what it was designed to be used for, which is not to fund your primary living expenses, but for supplemental needs. And so now the new paradigm. The new paradigm is that the average person now works for seven different companies during their career. And I don't know. Dan, have you worked for seven companies? Just curious.
No, I have not. Most of the time it's been for me.
I was going to say, that's because you, like I, are self-employed. I can count, well, if I don't count my college years, you know, when I worked for a family member, I've worked for exactly one before I started my own practice at age 25 and thought that I had retired because I got to decide who my headaches were as opposed to a manager or a partner at Arthur Anderson telling me what I was going to work on that day, right? And you were at, I think, Price Waterhouse, if I recall, correct, Dan?
Yes, I was. Yeah. That's where I started right out of college.
Yeah, tax department as well, or did they make you do an audit tour of duty?
You know, I did. I came into the tax department, but I did have the privilege of going over and doing an audit every now and then.
Yeah, well, I never had the privilege. I was going to say, I never had the privilege, don't want the privilege, and don't understand who in their right mind would agree to work in that half of our profession or whatever it is. It's probably less than half. But in any event, so the average person now works for seven different companies. The 401k has replaced the pension for many. Retirement is now self-funded, mostly. It was a beautiful strategy those retirement plan administrators and experts had. And by the way, created a not just a cottage industry, created a huge industry for them to work with many, many, many individual accounts that were comprised those 401k plans. And again, much of the cost was offloaded. You know, when you had a pension plan, how many times did you have a fee taken out of your account for an actuary or whoever was investing the funds of the plan? Because they weren't investing the funds for you specifically. And so in any event, self-funded became the key model moving forward. And now Social Security may cover very little of your lifestyle requirements because it's a different, you know, mindset we have about what constitutes retirement living. And that's why when we run our 401 math illustration, which we will do for anybody that'll bother to go to baplanner.com and fill out the intake forms. And by the way, there's an example of that illustration down at the bottom of the homepage. We will run that with your facts and circumstances. We'll show you the graph there on the left side, chart one, which shows you the only four things you can do under the tax code to control your money and invest them in real estate or oil and gas wells or whatever you think is going to create your family's net worth. And I'll just tell you, under the 401 trust rules, which is the self-directed model, real estate gets all the perks in terms of not being taxed. It is the only vehicle under the tax code, whether you're talking about retirement money or money in your money market, that you can invest in a real estate transaction and not pay tax when you exit, as long as those funds are kept inside the 401 trust. So you can reinvest 100% of the proceeds and do it again. Rinse, wash, and repeat, I believe is the expression, if you're into shampoo. But in any event, you know, we like the 401 trust, and we would argue that the 401 trust, the self-directed 401, is a huge success for those that understand how to execute it. It is a bit complicated, but it's something we do every day. We eat it for breakfast. We understand how to access your funds. If you live in the great state of Texas and you're married, and I would add in parentheses, happily so, then there is a legal strategy that allows us to access your funds before you get old, like Dan and I. In other words, before you pass your 59 and a half birthday and before you quit your job. Those are the only two ways. Call your HR department Monday and ask them, how can I get control of my 401 funds so I can invest them in these real estate private partnership syndications, what we call REPs? And they're going to tell you, oh, well, you know, you've either got to quit your job, you got to sever or separate your employment from this employer that has your plan, unless a chunk of that plan was rolled over from a previous employer, then you've got access to it. Or they're going to tell you that, hey, you got to be at least 59 and a half. Well, that's the only ways they know, because that's what they're taught. And we'll tell you there's another way, and it's as easy as you and your wife, typically, it's as easy as you and your wife or you and your husband, depending on your gender, deciding and agreeing this is how we want to split our assets up. And there is no requirement that you be getting a divorce, by the way, for those of you that just said, aha, now I know what he's talking about. And no, HR won't tell you about the divorce option either, by the way. And we do not have that requirement with the strategy that we utilize. Anyway, so now Social Security, again, may cover very little of your lifestyle requirements. There's projections that I've seen, Dan, you may have seen these as well, where at some point in the next, I don't know, certainly within our, okay, I just had somebody correct me here. It's wash, rinse, and repeat. Okay, I don't even think about it anymore, right, after this long. But I'll stipulate to that. In any event, with regard to the lifestyle choices we have now, we're living a lot longer. You may be surprised to learn that the IRS life expectancy tables have a male living to age 85, 86, and females 87, 88. And you may be impressed by that number, thinking how long you're going to live. And then I'm going to suggest to you, well, how much money you got? Have you projected if your money's going to last you out past age 85? Are you going to outlive your money, or is your money going to outlive you? And that's when reality sets in. And then I'm going to further, hopefully, make you concerned about a little thing called long-term health care or chronic illness that inevitably catches most of us, at least well over half of us, right before generally we hit that retirement age, or that, I'm sorry, not retirement age, before you decease at 85, 86, 87, 88. And so the question becomes, are you going to live in a facility that you welcome, or are you going to live in a facility that's funded by Medicaid? And there's a big difference, as I understand it, from the way those two options smell. You know what that's like, Dan? Have you visited older
Yes,
folks
I have.
That are
I
in?
Had a client of yeah. mine that I love dearly that she just ran out of money, and it was really sad. So she went to the effort to pay off her son's debt and went out rent, and then he died, and she lived another 15 years and had to go to a Medicaid facility, and it just killed me because it was an awful situation for her. She was used to some very nice facilities in her lifestyle and ended up in a horrible, horrible facility, as I remember, and it was awful.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know. We're fortunate in a way, because fairly nice facilities in Texas. We're talking, I don't know what you've seen, Dan. I know I've seen $7,000 to $10,000.
Yeah,
a month.
It's no less than that. $7,000.
Right, but you go up
be the minimum.
Well, you go up to the Northeast, you know, Boston, New York, et cetera. You're looking at 20 plus. For similar care.
Dollars.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I should have clarified that. But in any event, we're fairly lucky. Now, what let me move on here. I've got a few other facts that I want to kind of lay as a predicate for this discussion on longevity and tax rate risk. I've already discussed longevity. So, you know, we're living longer. All of us, and it's technology. It's a number of reasons. It's you know, medical breakthroughs. I don't think it's genomes related yet, but it's going to be. And you know, who knows? The next generation may live to, you know, on average to 100 plus years, right? I'm not sure what else.
In fact, the life insurance industry has increased their, you know, endowment payouts in many cases to 121 years instead of the 100
right?
that was used for many, many years. You know, 121 is the magic age date these days to endow.
Well, we look at, so now we've talked about longevity risk, and let's talk about well, I tell you what, I see we've come up to, God, it's hard to believe we're already at the third break. Let's go ahead and take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we better move right away into the strategy, Dan, and discuss how it sidesteps some of the tax issues, et cetera. We'll be right back here in a few minutes with the Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross and Dan DuBose.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
Segment of this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross, and I've got Dan DuBose joining me today. We've got about 12 minutes left, so we're going to have to move quick here. As we've already explained, tax rates are going up. It's not Democrat, it's not Republican, it's called math, and we're going to be forced to pay more in tax, or we're not going to be able to afford many of the entitlements to the same extent, if at all. And of course, you know, military, what factors are going to make taxes go up? Let's think of it that way. Social Security. Do you have any idea? I'm curious how many of our listeners have any idea what the percentage of the federal budget is that makes up Social Security. Dan, do you know what that number is? I'm just curious. I didn't before this week's webinar that I took.
Hello?
Yeah. Are you there?
Yes.
Do you have any idea what the percentage of the federal budget is consumed by the Social Security expenditure? It's the largest program in the federal budget.
96%?
No, it's not that much. It seems like it though, doesn't it? Based on what we pay, what comes out of our paycheck. It's about one quarter, 25% or so. It provides benefits to nearly 65 million beneficiaries, which is about 20% of the American population. Nearly 9 out of 10 people over the age of 65 receive benefits, and those benefits represent about 33% of the total income to older Americans. That's a lot of numbers, but bottom line is it's staggering. So what's going to cause our tax bill to go up? Well, Social Security would be number one on the list. There's more people coming into Social Security. I think I read we're 10,000 baby boomers every day, and maybe it's Medicare. It's one of those two programs are eligible to start, and, of course, most of the time you need to start, not necessarily on the Social Security front, but if you don't start in the Medicare program when you can, that ends up penalizing you pretty significantly on your premiums the rest of your life. But anyway, the Department of Defense is another big chunk. Medicare and Medicaid, the prescription drug program, interest on the national debt, and that's the one that's the one you want to keep your eye on with the inflationary trend we're on, because that may hasten that tax train that's coming down the tracks, depending on how fast the interest rate on average goes up to sell treasury notes. And then the pension obligations. And, you know, we just discussed how we don't really see pensions much anymore, except Dan made the astute observation, you do when it comes to the federal government, which I guess is not very surprising now, is it, Dan?
No, it's not.
Yeah, but, and then Freddie Mae and Freddie Mac, those are still in large measure, in fact, maybe in all measures funded by the government. Anyway, the list goes on. And so, Dan, I want you to explain for the average retiree that doesn't have, you know, $5 million in the bank, what's that first $100,000 or so of income each year look like when it comes to taxation?
Married filing jointly might be in, say, a 20-22% tax bracket. And that might include $30,000 worth of Social Security, which is pretty typical these days. Maybe it's $30,000 if both of them have been working all their work life. So maybe you're talking about $60,000. That could be as much as $60,000 within that $100,000. That $100,000 from that $60,000 from Social Security could end up costing you probably another $10,000 in tax, you know, just because you let it come out of the wrong bucket.
That's true. And you know, we were talking about pensions earlier. Pensions are a two-edged sword, and you know, the pension income is generally taxable, which if you got a $5,000 a month pension, gets you past what we call the provisional income brackets. What are those, Dan? What's provisional income? Explain that.
Provisional income is any income you have plus half of your Social Security, and it does even include the municipal interest that you may have thought was not taxable. It effectively causes your municipal income, I'm sorry, your municipal interest income to be taxable. If you get over the $34,000 for a married couple, it is for a married couple, $44,000. That's a rather significant tax that you could be levied just because you had that $60,000 pension that paid you that $5,000 a month. So,
right, that's right. Versus having other sources of income streams, like maybe cash flows off of a real estate private partnership would be a good example. You know, in a real estate private partnership, typically it's about every fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth year when they actually sell the property, and that's when you would have some taxable income. So if you structured your income streams to have Social Security and cash flow distributions off real estate, and then you've got the roughly $25,000 as index for inflation, married filing joint standard deduction, you can actually avoid paying income tax up to a pretty decent level of income. Right, Dan? Is that what you see with your clients? Okay. Yeah.
You get your distribution could be, let's say a distribution from an IRA might be equal to your standard deduction for a married couple somewhere around $26,000 now. So if you got that pension and $26,000, with standard deduction, you might be able to avoid You still have provisional income, but you're going to have a less tax.
Right, and there's a couple other ways, and we're really pinched for time here. I've got about 4 minutes left. We like Roth. You've heard me talk about Roth conversions almost every week now for the last year. We're going to keep talking about them because distributions out of your Roth accounts, unlike other retirement accounts, are not subject to filling up those provisional brackets. So you can receive them without it counting against the clock, so to speak, on paying tax on it. But there's other options. And I've mentioned last week and various other weeks, the most interesting and intriguing tax shelters still left under the tax code relate to insurance options, cash-type policies.
Cash value policies.
Right. And we're going to talk more about it next week, but we just want to whet your appetite that if you buy the right kind of insurance, it's structured correctly, and you're obviously at an age where you can qualify, we look at 55 to 65 as being the sweet spot. And my goodness, if a 40-year-old decided to do it, it would be an incredible game changer retirement-wise. We refer to these as life insurance retirement plans, where you can literally take money out, again, if it's structured right, and it's not even reported. It's not that it's just not taxable like the Roth. The Roth still gets reported, which is no big deal, but I'm just trying to explain the preferred status that some of these insurance products have under the code. And the better reasons to do it are we can put riders on those policies, often at no cost, no premium, additional premium cost for long-term health care and chronic illness. And so, you know, maybe when you heard the word insurance a minute ago, you kind of recoiled. Well, think of it as a tax and a cash flow strategy. And Dan is going to shed more light on these options next week because we're down to our last 60 seconds here. So I think we'll have to wrap up today's show. Dan, really enjoyed it again. We look forward to next week. Sharpen your blade on that index universal life option, and I'll talk Ross, and we'll show you how that you can retire, live a great lifestyle, have the nicer skilled nursing facilities available to you, and it's just a matter of planning. So in any event, the BA Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and Dan DeBose will be back same time, same station next week. Tune in tomorrow, 7 a.m. Oh, you bet, Dan. Thank you. Tomorrow, 7 a.m. right here on KSEB 700 AM, the Syndication Mass Show.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEB.